a sailor behind your back anyway.
Parental discretion is advised.
Called Technology Bites, and here we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome to the show. This is Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight,
and he's
Groove House. But Peter didn't happen.
Peter didn't.
Do you have that turn?
He says he can hear. It's on right here.
Okay. Well, while Groove House is sorting that out,
one more week of fundraising.
No!
No.
No!
Don't turn the dial.
No, fundraising is over. And Flicted is still in Russia. So, Groove House is having to cover the board, the phones, and the Skypes.
Pete, are you there?
Huh.
That's weird, because I thought I had everything set up correctly.
Is the volume up?
Volume's up.
He rebooted?
He's actually online.
He's actually online. You've got him plugged in and all that, but he's not coming through.
Pete?
It's almost like Flicted were here.
Man, I thought I had it.
Man.
I thought I had it. I got to figure out what's going on.
All right, well, while Groove House is working on that, we'll just welcome you to the show, Technology Bites. We did really well during the fundraiser over the last 3 weeks. We went to, I need to find my email that has the people we need to thank. So
we got a couple of big thank yous, huh?
We got a couple of big ones. Yeah, we had a web pledge come in for. Let's see if I can actually get online with my. What is this? I don't understand. What's this other Wi-Fi I'm connecting to? Are you one up?
Yeah, I'm one up. He will cut you off mercilessly before the end of the show. Don't connect to it.
No, he's. Don't want to connect to that. I want to connect to this. All right. So I'm still trying to get to my email, but we did have some very generous pledges come in while we were... There we are. Web pledge KPFT. Google search. Gmail search my emails. But we had a very generous pledge come in, and I want to say this. Okay, here we go. Web pledge thanks. We want to thank Roger, who called in. He made a very generous pledge. He tried to do it on the 40th anniversary of the show, but it didn't work. He says maybe it'll get through this time. So it's a pledge in support of
the 40th anniversary
of KPFT.
You said of the show.
No.
I was gonna go.
No, he wanted to make a very significant pledge during the 40th anniversary, and apparently it didn't go through when he tried to do it. And he said, well, over the course of time, realized it didn't work. So he came through at the last minute for us.
Awesome.
And pledged a lot of money. And let me see who else we have to thank. We want to thank, Patrick, who called in from Houston, Texas, and he pledged a significant amount of money. And let me see if there's anybody else. One more, May 24th. Another, we want to thank Michael, who called in from Houston, and also Laura, who called in. So it was almost $1,000 in additional pledges that came in, because I'd have to get a calculator out. But we did really well through the web and had some very generous pledges came in. So we want to thank those people for pledging. After the our fundraiser was over, we'll get over being kind of left hanging. We did make our goal last week. Didn't we make our goal last week?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep, we did.
And we went significantly over it now. So that's awesome.
Bonus, one up.
All right.
I think we have Pete.
Pete, you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Hey.
If this is really Pete, make your dog spark.
Yeah, they're shut out of the room, so you won't hear them.
All right.
All right, so well, we have Pete. So I haven't seen much updates from Flicted. He posted a bunch of pictures from his recent trip to Russia, or his ongoing trip to Russia, that is, but the last week or so he's been quiet, so I don't know if he's been...
I think I saw him yesterday on
Twitter. Probably got his head in the books, you know, he's...
You know, you think he's just
learning
just
as much
learning
as he can, you know, to keep it together.
I thought maybe he said something disparaging about the KGB.
I hope not.
He posted yesterday. Mm-hmm. So he was on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Proof of life.
Proof of life? You think a tweet is a proof of life?
for Flicted, yeah.
Oh, does it come sound on. Like him? Is it in context?
It's very much snarky and somewhat
morose. But
he says, I'm wearing a buff brew t-shirt in a, quote, British pub in St. Petersburg, Russia. Think I can say that's a first? Question mark.
Probably.
That's Flicked.
That sounds
Buff
like
Brew it. Is local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they'd have to know a little bit about his taste in beer, mm-hmm. the fact that he liked it. Yeah, so it'd be a clever... I don't know, those Russians are pretty clever.
Yeah.
All right, so let me give out... So apparently... never mind. I don't have to even bring that up. But so apparently we need to give out some other information. So let me let you know, you can visit us online at geekradio.com. You can also call us at 713-526-5738. You don't have to offer us money. We will just take your calls a little bit later on, and we'll talk tech and talk computers. You can join us on IRC. We hang out irc.cuckoo.com in the channel Tech Bytes. You can either use your own IRC client, or you can join us via the web. And what?
Flicted in Russia is an IRC.
Flicted in Russia is an IRC.
I don't know how long he's been idling, but yeah, there's some more proof of life for you.
All right. So, has he been idling for a while? Do we know?
He's been idling for 3 days, 15 hours.
Well, it's got to be what, like 8 o'clock in the morning there, right?
Somebody kick him.
Yeah. And also want to let you know that the Technology Bytes Geek Gathering is happening this Friday.
Yes!
Yes.
Yes.
And it's going to be at the place formerly known as Coffee Grounds, which is now called Aperture.
Orifice. Oh, I'm sorry.
Coffee Hole, I thought.
Coffee Hole.
Aperture. But it still says Coffee Grounds on the building. At least it did last Saturday when I was there.
Yeah, and I used their Facebook page to link onto the Facebook invite. So it's at Coffee Grounds, which is now like some kind of it's going to be a beer and wine and coffee bar.
Right.
I don't know if they've got their liquor license yet.
About a month.
A month. So this month it'll still be business as usual. The place will look different, but hopefully we're still welcome there. We'll find out. I'm sure it's going to be fine. It seems like it's all the same people.
Yeah, same owners as when we were there last month. They want to change it up.
Okay. So we'll be gathering there this Friday from about 7 p.m. onward. And there's a Specs across the street if you need to get your favorite adult beverage.
One last time in the hot heat, yeah, before we don't have to make the trek anymore, right?
Oh, yeah, if they get their liquor license, we can get our adult beverages in the air-conditioned comfort without crossing
the... It'll be beer wine.
Beer wine. Mm-hmm. Those are still adult beverages.
Yep.
Beer wine. It's fine by you, right?
I loves me some beer wine.
Loves me some beer wine. All right, beer, wine, coffee, and photography, apparently. So I'm going to try to encourage. Groovehouse is a maybe again on the Facebook invite. I would like to also point out.
I'm working that night.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, they changed the name of the place for you, and you're not.
They changed it for Jay, actually.
No, I'm not the most famous photographer in the room.
Oh, yes, you are.
Can we talk about that?
No.
Okay.
No. We cannot talk about that.
There are some photos by Imelda up on the wall in there, but those are the only person I recognize. She has some of hers up there.
Well, it's Groovehouse was also maybe on the Facebook invite for the photo show that he had photos in. So that shows
you. I was maybe kind of there. I was working that night too.
Yeah,
I'm a busy guy.
I know you're a busy guy. You got things to do, places to be,
yeah, people to shoot.
That's right.
All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to hand things off to Peter Hughes, who has been successfully Skyped into the program tonight.
Yes.
In San Antonio. Thanks to Groovehouse's efforts.
That was me.
I like to think that I helped a little by reminding you to bring the stuff, but you may have already been on that ball.
Right. No, I probably would have forgotten. So that was me and Jay.
All right. So we're going to go to San Antonio for the Technology Bites Info Shot. Take it away, Info Shot.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Okay, well, tonight we have new stuff and some rumors, always, and then some more new stuff. First off, this one's kind of interesting. Google launched the next version of its Chromebook laptop yesterday. They boosted processor speed and doubled memory capacity in an upgrade that finally makes the browser-centric tote look like a finished product. It's a Samsung. There's a Samsung Chromebook Series 5 550, which is, according to Wired, an impressive follow-up to last year's Series 5 laptop. It's, like I said, made by Samsung. It runs the browser-based Chrome OS, but where the Series 5 felt like a proof of concept, the Series 5 550 might actually tempt you into moving your computing workload into Google's cloud.
Whoa.
Along with the new Chromebook, Google and Samsung are also launching the first Chromebox, a Chrome OS-based desktop computer roughly the size and shape of a Mac Mini. The two new Chrome OS gadgets offer similar performance, but of course the Chromebox requires you to bring your own keyboard, mouse, and monitor. The Chromebook is $450 with Wi-Fi only, and $550 for a 3G-capable unit. The Chromebox is Wi-Fi only, which is kind of odd. You don't think they could have maybe thrown a Ethernet port in there? I can understand not putting the 3G in, but why wouldn't you put an Ethernet port? Anyways, but that's $330. They are already available to be purchased online. The Chromebook is a 12.1-inch 1280x800 display, has two USB ports, weighs 3.3 pounds. Neither Chromebook generation is as thin or light as a MacBook Air, but they are, according to Wired again, mighty easy to carry around. The new Chromebook has 4 gigs of RAM, double the memory from last year's, and it's got a processor bump in place of last year's Intel Atom CPU. There's now a dual-core Intel chip running at 1.3 gigahertz. It's still got 16 gigs of storage in it, but of course you're supposed to be storing your files in the cloud. If you opt for 3G support, you get 100 megs of free Verizon 3G service each month for the first 2 years after your purchase. So that's worth $100. The $100 extra for the 3G capable, certainly. The Chromebox has internal hardware specs like the Chromebooks, though its processor is 1.9 gigahertz. And where the Chromebook offers two USB ports, the Chromebox has 6. And the Chromebook has a single DisplayPort plus connection, which is compatible with HDMI, DVI, and VGA. The Chromebox features 2 DisplayPort connectors plus a DVI port. And the Chromebox offers Bluetooth to connect wireless keyboards and mice. And both of them have an SD card slot to expand local storage. So it's certainly interesting. I can see where the Google Box, the Chrome Box, certainly sounds intriguing as a, say, extra computer or, you know, have on the side kind of deal. So the Chrome OS was updated last month and made every Chromebook better, but I think it was for the new hardware. The sum up from Wired is that the Chrome OS has a long way to go before it's ready to challenge Windows or OS X. After all, you can only run web-based browser apps on the platform. Nonetheless, the new desktop interface, which allows for true multitasking, as well as updates on the roadmap, should continue to nudge Chrome OS toward greater relevance and utility. And again, it doesn't hurt that it's not too expensive. Now to the rumor stuff. And of course, where would the what are the rumors going to be about? iPhone. That's the next big thingy. And as Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, was talking about that they're clamping down on you know, trying to be even more secretive about things like the iPhone. Same day, purported photos of the iPhone, not the iPhone 5, purported photos of the next iPhone, because the other one's the 4G, I don't think they're going to say iPhone 5. Anyways, have emerged. The images indicate that the next iPhone could have a longer screen. There's been rumors about it being a 16:9 ratio, which is like high-definition television. The headphone jack appears to be on the bottom of the device, and the dock connector looks much smaller than on previous models, which could be a pain in the neck for owners of iPhone peripherals. The photos showed up at 9 to 5 Mac, repair firms uBreak iFix and iFixYourEye, and SW Box, a Hong Kong-based seller of mobile phone accessories. They show the back plate of what appears to be a new model of the iPhone and some internal parts. Of course, there's no real way to verify these. It could be a final product. It could be real parts. It could be an engineering prototype or just a fake. But, you know, the big thing, the big rumor thing around is the smaller dock. There's also the question of course, if they change the dimensions of the display, how will they deal with it? Will there be letterboxing? How do you get developers without leaking the fact that that you're changing the display without just that's a question that's out there, and obviously they can't very well push it out to they can't go out and say, oh hey guys, hey all developers, just keep it secret. You know how long that would last. Let's see. The size of the iPhone allows not only for a larger display, which that's it sounds like there's been demand for, but also a larger battery, which would help with 4G mobile technologies like LTE. According to what you can see on Android phones, you know, any of those reviews, one of the things is the LTE really sucks down the battery. It uses up the battery even faster than it uses up your data plan, as a matter of fact. Another change in the photos is the possibility of a return to a metal alloy for the back of the phone. With the iPhone 4, Apple went to a glass back panel for the handset, which made it a little more fragile, where the aluminum hopefully would hold up. The photos also show that the iPhones, the rumored iPhone's antenna is incorporated into the back plate so that it's going to be, I guess, where it's bigger and in the back so that you can't, like, hold the phone wrong and mess up the antenna. It shows a unibody design similar to what Apple uses for its notebook computers. Movement of the earphone jack from the top to the bottom, like I said before. Relocation of one of the stereo microphones from the top of the device to a space between the camera lens and the flash. So these could be this could be for reals, or maybe not. The connector, though, here's one that adds strength to the idea that they're getting rid of the big connector and going to something smaller. Apple has a job description for the connector design engineer which they've just been advertising for. It says the connector design engineer will be responsible for managing multiple connector designs and developments in support of the iPod product lines. Cross-functional development and consulting will be a major part of your daily work. As a lead engineer, you'll be responsible for identifying appropriate connection technology requirements for new products and follow through with selection and development of suitable interconnect products. This will often involve adaptation of existing connectors or complete new designs. You see, complete new designs. Interfacing with connector suppliers to direct and implement the necessary design changes or creation of completely new designs will also be a major part of your daily work. So, on the the thing that people say, okay, so if they switch the dock connector, then that'll be annoying for all the people who've already got accessories. Well, I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but I've plugged in, if I've tried to use an old connector, which there is no visible difference between the brand new connector and the old ones, except that the fat end that plugs into the Mac, the plastic piece, was a little bit larger. Except I plugged it in and it basically said you can't use that, that the cable was too old and that you couldn't use it with that device to charge it. Because I had put an old cable in the car so it could just stay there and I could use it to charge. So the deal about, oh no, if they change the connector, then you could, you won't get to use your accessories. Well, I think Apple's done that one, and that time they didn't even change the connector. So it's kind of hard to feel too much sympathy for the fact that, people have to buy some new stuff. It seems to happen. And other things, one thing that's interesting in the U.S. is that mobile payments, where you use your phone to pay for stuff, seems to be going slow in the U.S. Even if the next iPhone has a mobile wallet app and a near-field communication chip inside, which I haven't heard rumors one way or the other, but it certainly hasn't been heavily rumored. Despite its influence in the smartphone realm, Apple is only one part of a complex world of wireless financial transactions that involve banks, credit card processors, smartphones on cell operating systems, merchants, and NFC payment terminals, according to analysts. In the U.S., which lags way behind Japan and South Korea on contactless payments, there's already a well-established banking network that supports customers with credit cards and ATM machines to provide a ready supply of cash and credit. Such a variety of choices for buying things has reduced the demand in the U.S. for phones with NFC technology to make mobile payments. Recent polls actually show Americans aren't that interested in using NFC smartphones or mobile payments. The mobile payment idea, the deal with that is it's using text messages, contactless payments, which is where you wave your phone over it, or the web to make payments and purchases from a mobile device. Apple's long been expected to launch the next iPhone with an NFC chip inside. I haven't heard that rumor too much. That would have a mobile wallet app that would allow quick purchases from merchants or transit providers. Users would enable the app, probably with a PIN, and quickly pass the phone near a payment terminal to transfer funds from an established account, likely a traditional credit card like Visa, MasterCard, or Amex. Google launched Google Wallet for NFC-ready Android phones on Sprint last September, and despite more than 100,000 payment terminals in the U.S., the project has thus far seen only modest success. If it's the iPhone, then that could help it take off because of the type of kind of early adopter type people that might have iPhones. But it won't change the ecosystem involving the banks, the telcos, card networks, etc. Gartner analyst Sandy Shin predicted that Apple won't use its popular iTunes app with NFC smartphones for money. Instead, Apple's more likely to rely on having customers make a direct link to their credit cards or bank accounts for the smartphone purchase because of the higher risks involved in the NFC purchases. So we'll keep an eye on that. It certainly seems to be one that it is a solution in search of a problem that people will want to use, until it gets to be a lot quicker and simpler than using a card. I think it will probably be slowly adopted. In other stuff, Microsoft has been doing stuff too. The latest version of Windows comes out later this year. Apparently, is going to feature better support, enhanced support, multi-monitor setups. Microsoft announced it's tweaked the multi-monitor support in Windows 8 better take care of those who work more than one display. But from the very first release and demonstrations of Windows 8, we've shown improvements for Windows 7 for multi-monitor scenarios and shown how we support new Metro-style apps within a multi-monitor environment, said Microsoft's Steven Sinofsky. We've continued to develop and refine features for multiple monitors and have significantly enhanced the experience as we move to our next milestone, the release preview. With Windows 8, Microsoft is aiming to make the multi-monitor desktop a more personal experience, including the ability to customize desktop backgrounds, adding a different background for each monitor or stretching one image over multiples. You'll also be able to run multi-monitor slideshows. Ooh, it'll be like being at the planetarium. Windows 8 users will also be able to customize taskbar settings. For example, you can decide if you want to show taskbar buttons on all taskbars, just the taskbar window is open, or both the main taskbar and the taskbar where the window is open. So there's also they're also introducing an improved model for shared edges that makes it easier to target UI along a shared edge. That means no more slowing down to a snail's pace when approaching a shared edge for fear you'll overshoot and accidentally end up on another display. That, you know, in other words, when you're mousing over towards, you know, say you have a window that's far over to the edge where you would transfer to another monitor, they've improved that. In addition to improvements to shared edges, there's also real corners, which provide 6-pixel-high barriers that catch the mouse when you're trying to target corners. In other words, they've made it so that if you push the mouse towards the corner, there's a little sort of a bumper that you can't see, but that's there with that's got that doesn't transfer to the other monitor. So that's kind of cool. It shows them thinking about the needs of people with multiple monitors and trying to do stuff to make that more useful, which, hey, every little bit helps. Another thing, talking about helping out, apparently ditching Adobe Systems Flash Player wasn't as easy as Microsoft thought it would be earlier this year, because screenshots from Win Unleaked show the browser plugin working even in the Metro version of IE10, where Microsoft had earlier said plugins would be barred. Microsoft and Adobe declined to comment, but a source familiar with the plans said IE10 will build in a version of Flash Player optimized for Windows 8 type matters, such as touchscreen interfaces, power consumption, and security. The reason the source said is that browsers just aren't ready quite yet to ditch Flash, so Microsoft wants to give it a more graceful exit while web developers figure out standards that can replace it. Flash is widely used for streaming video, casual games, and interactive sites, but web standards like HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript are supplanting it, and now Adobe is among the companies that are working on tools to let those standards take Flash's place. Building Flash into IE10 directly, similar to Google's approach to Flash in Chrome, gives Microsoft a semantic, if not technological, way to sidestep its earlier pronouncements. In other words, they can put Flash there without having to say that they were allowing plugins. Metro's the interface is front and center on Windows 8, with a grid of application tiles replacing the start menu and a Microsoft goal of fast and fluid touch user interface. Windows 8 also will come with the classic interface where the Flash Player will run fine. Apparently, though, Rafael Rivera and Paul Thoreau said on Within Windows that Flash won't get free reign, though. Instead, it'll be a facet of the compatibility view approach Microsoft uses to handle websites not coded to modern standards. Quote, Flash is supported for only those popular but legacy websites that need it. This feature is not broadly available for all sites, they said. So Flash gets a reprieve, but not a free ticket. And finally, still a little bit more Microsoft. Ooh, the merger of Microsoft and Apple rumors all together. BGR reports that Microsoft's planning to launch Office for iOS in November this year, with the source claiming firsthand knowledge of the software running on an iPad. With the app's splash screen referring to it as Office for iOS, the source also speculates that the app may now coming to the smaller screens of the iPhone and iPod Touch. In addition to its iOS effort, Microsoft is also said to be bringing Office to Android-based tablets in the same time frame. Microsoft had indicated soon after the launch of the original iPad that it was investigating the possibility of putting Office on the platform, but ultimately just said it had no plans. The Daily has since claimed several times that Office for iPad is in fact in the works, reporting in February that it even had a hands-on time with the prototype. Microsoft denied it, but the Daily continues to stand by its report. suggesting that there may have been a misunderstanding somewhere. Microsoft stated that the situation would become clear, quote, in the coming weeks. No such clarification has surfaced, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, obviously, Office has always been something that Microsoft has made sure was on multiple platforms and has kept up with that, and it would be kind of silly to ignore the market for tablets. And that's the news.
All right. So lots of Apple rumors.
Well, you know, the iPhone thing, you've got it, it's the right time. You know, June is when the Macworld thing, you know, the big Apple confab. Plus you have the stuff with Tim Cook up in New York with that big thing up
the
there.
The D10 conference.
Do we think that the new iPhone will be touched upon at all coming up in June, or do we think we're going to be
iOS 6 will probably be touched upon. They probably won't deal with the hardware.
Just talk about it. The idea with the rumor for a 16:9 proportion screen, then that would, if they're going to do something about it where the developers get to do something in advance, that would be the place where it might out as far as the news.
Are you still going iPhone on us?
I'm thinking about it. I think the new iPhone should be pretty interesting, and I'm very interested in it. I gotta go all the way. I'm fanboy now.
There you go. I will definitely get the next iPhone or the iPhone 5 or whatever they want to call it. My only question is what carrier I'm going to go with. I'm pretty sure I'm going to dump AT&T.
So even your unlimited data plan, you're just going to walk away from it?
It's not unlimited if I get throttled at 3, you know. So I'm thinking about Sprint. I want to see what their LTE service looks like when it lights up. In Houston, the problem with Sprint is that their 3G, which the phone would fall back to,
is not that great.
So there's also Verizon, and Verizon.
If Sprint comes out with an LTE that's unlimited and any good, that would be the way to go.
Yeah,
I would think.
Well, and as you know, over time, Sprint will expand its LTE network.
Yeah, but I don't want to have a great phone that's waiting on a network. Like right now, I've got a reasonable network waiting on a phone. I don't know. Some of the new Androids look interesting, but
the HTC phones look really interesting.
It just seems so haphazard right now. I mean, the whole Android thing just kind of comes and goes and fits and spurts. There's not like a clear path to dominance or just reliability.
Right.
It's like when I got my Samsung Galaxy Vibrant, it was supposed to be this great, great thing, and it just hasn't ended up being that. It was got a lot of hype and a lot of great pre-reviews and what it promised to be, but oh well, we'll see. 713-526-5738. Has Flicked woke up on IRC yet? No. He's probably
asleep. I think he's cuddling with Ophelia. Maybe. They're both asleep.
All right. Well, Groovehouse has been doing triple duty in the control room for us tonight, and we're grateful for that. Looks like he's already screened a couple of calls, hasn't he?
Yes.
I sure have. We got two in the queue. We got open line, so if you want to call in, 713-526-5738. If you've got a computer question, we'll try and help.
All right. So who's up first?
All right. Up first on the show, we are going to take Matthew.
Matthew, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I ran across a problem.
Hold
on, when is this? One second.
Oh, yeah, we'll hold.
let me bring it up real quick, and then we'll talk. One second. Okay, I'm in the task manager.
Task manager.
It just comes up there. There's nothing on it.
I know how to fix that.
Okay.
Bring up your task manager and then double click on the gray bar at the top. and it will come back. Just double click on the gray border at the very top of the task manager, and it will show you what you're missing.
Okay, I'm like I told the guy who helped me answer the telephone. I'm not at that computer. I'm in my car.
All right, when you get to that computer, bring up your task manager and just double click on the top of the box.
Okay.
And you'll see cool. Your task manager. All your items will show back up.
What caused it to go away like that?
There's, for some reason, it will hide it. There's an option to hide. I don't know why. It's just a.
I think when you bring it up, there's a keystroke. There's a key combination that, if you hit it accidentally, will do that.
It's a glitch. It's a glitch in that little applet. But I've seen that problem a number of times.
Okay.
And it stupefied me, and I had to go online, and actually somebody else answered it for me. But they said, yeah, you double click. And sure enough, and I've had 5 or 6 people ask me that same question since then. And I've suggested that to him, and it's fixed it every time.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, good luck, Matthew. Thank you for
your call. You're stuck again.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Wow. Hopefully that will actually solve his problem. It's too bad he wasn't in front of his computer when that happened, so he could have, you know, been startled when we were so awesomely correct. All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites.
We're back to a regular show. We're not asking for donations.
We're not asking for money. I think the radio station might actually be back at full strength.
I know. So. We've got a lot of our equipment back up and working. All our security cameras and keyboards and everything looks good in here.
Yeah. All right. Groove House.
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right. Up next on the show, we are going to take Strott.
Strott. You're on the air with Technology Bites.
You mean Scott?
Scott?
Scott.
Yeah.
Well, that's who I meant.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I am still planning about a new PC, and I'm wondering about laying out the operating systems. I assume I'll be getting Windows 7, or is there a possibility of something newer?
Depends on when you buy.
Okay. Well,
if you buy one right
next
now, it'll
year.
Be, if you buy next year,
it'll yep. be Windows
it'll
8.
It'll be Windows 8.
Windows 8. Yeah. Well, what I like to do is have the operating systems on one disk and then have my stuff on the other disk. How much space does Windows 7 or 8 really need?
Well, it doesn't need much for the operating system itself. I think the minimum space requirement for the disk is like 16 gig. It's not that much.
16 gig.
But
you got to leave room for the swap file.
Right. Okay.
But any if you buy any computer now, it's going to have at least a gigabyte of memory. And
yeah.
Probably, I mean, of hard drive space.
Yeah.
And
a gigabyte of hard drive?
Terabyte.
A terabyte. I'm
terabyte.
Sorry. Terabyte of hard drive space.
Wow.
A whole gig.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't.
No, a terabyte of hard drive space.
Hot time machine.
And you will, and I personally don't think there's much reason to put your operating system on one drive and your data and your pro, except if you put your operating system on an SSD, on a solid-state drive, and then everything is much, much faster.
The way I got started on this was I Windows 98 came with an old computer, and it is lousy, and it I guess it gets corrupted from time to time. So I would erase the whole thing and start over.
Well,
and
you know,
it was very convenient to have my stuff on the other another disk. Where
you can certainly do that, or make a backup of your data files and so forth. There's no real performance benefit to having the operating system. Even if you were to have your operating system on one drive and all the rest of the files on the other drive, if you wipe the operating system drive and reinstall the operating system, you still have to go back and reinstall your applications. Because it won't just pick those up.
Yeah, well, there are some applications I had to reinstall. But now, how much swap file would I need?
Windows adjusts the swap file based on what you need and the amount of memory that you have.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, the swap file can grow to be pretty big, but
Well, let's just
It's not at all going to be consume the size of the disk on modern hard drives.
Well, let's assume that you're going to go forward with the idea of having two drives.
Yeah.
So right now storage is pretty cheap. You'd be hard pressed to find a drive to an internal hard drive that's less than, say, 500 megabytes. I think you're really hard-pressed to find a smaller one. So you're going to, if you allocate one drive as your operating system drive, it's going to have 500 megabytes. It's going to have enough room for the operating system and a sizable
gigabytes.
Swap. Gigabytes, sorry. I'll admit, right. 500 gigabytes. It's going to be half a terabyte. So you're going to have enough room for the operating system and enough room for the swap file, and then you're going to have a couple hundred gigs of wasted space that does nothing. So it's to me a ludicrous concept. I do not buy in to having the operating system on one drive and the files on another drive, unless, like Dwight said, if you were get a solid state drive so that you would have faster performance and boot times with your operating system. And even then you can find a drive that's like 200 or even an 80 gig or 100 gig.
They're running pretty cheap. I saw a 256 gig solid state drive for about $200.
Now, any of this stuff, if you're trying to do it, you're not going to be able to necessarily buy a computer off the shelf that's configured this way. You're going to have to.
I can do reconfiguring.
Oh, well, actually, there are some HPs. I've seen some HPs and Dells that come with two hard drives.
With one solid state drive and one. Okay, that's good.
Yep.
All right, well, I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call. All right.
Yeah, I've been shopping for I've been thinking about doing some serious surgery on my iMac.
On my iMac.
And putting a solid state, opening it myself, and putting a solid state drive in my iMac.
Oh, I'm not supposed to get electronics in my eye.
And we're going to have a pool on how many screws you have left when you're done.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, when there are lots of videos on the web for opening up and inserting. I have a 24-inch. It's an older iMac. And they all show you like, take one of these suction cup things and pull the screen off, the glass off, and you move the screen back, and there's all the guts of it, and it just kind of gives me the creeps to think about doing that. But I love how fast SSDs are, and they're coming down in price, and I could really see giving this iMac some new life. So,
man,
I'm trying to think
on my iMac. We have the same one. How much hard drive space do we have?
I have 320 on mine.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So I'd give some up. You know, because I can get a 256.
See, if I do surgery on my iMac, I would just put a larger hard drive in it. It's performance wise, it seems fine. I don't know that I would gain much from a solid state drive.
Well, I've tested a solid state drive in my MacBook Pro.
Yeah,
and it's pretty impressive.
For day to day, I mean, for the general operation, or do you only see that improvement when you boot?
Day to day, boot, launch anything, save anything. It's just everything's instantaneous, and because there's no swap file involved, when you run a lot of things, you don't see that slowdown in performance at all. So, like running, I'm able to run multiple virtual machines. Yeah. At the same time, when I'm in that configuration, that's excellent.
So
my MacBook Air, and given that the processor is pretty modest, I've never really noticed, because of the SSD, it really makes it perform like a dramatically more powerful machine.
How big
even
are
loaded up?
I know I can go look this up myself, but if you guys have looked recently, how big are SSD drives currently? What's the largest one you
512.
Can use? 512.
512.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would still be, and that's still pretty steep.
That's
in
very
price.
Expensive, yeah. That's very, you know, the sweet spot right now is the 128, 256. And 128 is the sweetest spot at the moment. But,
in terms of price?
Right, in terms of price. If you look,
there's nothing preventing you from getting a SSD that's smaller like that, putting the OS and the apps on it, and then having a big external hard drive.
Right,
for
and
the docks.
And there are kits both for desktops and for notebooks that will let you, say, swap out the optical drive in them for a second hard drive for the SSD. So you can do that and have all hard drives if you don't use your optical drive very much.
They're cheaper than I thought they were. The last time I looked, they were up around a grand, you know, for 512, but I'm seeing some for, you know, high fives.
Right, high fives, so sixes.
Not bad, yeah.
Right. So it's quickly coming down.
They're getting very close to a buck a gig.
Right.
Basically.
Right. And they're cheaper, you know, the 128s are now cheaper than a buck a gig with rebates. And the 256s are cheaper than a buck a gig, also usually with. Although I saw Newegg had some 256s for $199 and $234. And I would seriously consider one of those.
All right. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air. Yeah, I'm thinking about whether or not I want to. I guess probably the prudent thing to do would be to try to milk some more life out of my hardware. The iMac's running pretty good, but I guess with a solid state drive, I need more storage though. Performance wise, it seems basically okay, but for doing the editing and stuff, I guess I could get a FireWire external hard drive for storage.
Is there not enough room to put in a second solid-state drive and leave the original one in there? Does it have to be a replacement?
It would have to replace something.
Okay.
It would have to replace something. There's no space for a second hard drive in this particular model of iMac. So.
All right. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to take Bill.
Bill, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, I've got a MacBook Pro that's a 2.2 gigahertz, and I've got an unresponsive keyboard. And I found on one of the forums a deal where you take the battery out. There's a narrow flat copper connecting widget.
Cable.
Cable. A flat cable.
Yeah, it's a flat ribbon. It's a ribbon cable.
Ribbon cable. Okay. That's why I call you guys. And this guy had the problem, and Apple couldn't give him any help, and he ended up putting a piece of tape over that, and it cured his problem. Well, it cured my problem for a year. And I tried it again, and it worked for a day, and then I'm using a Bluetooth keyboard and a mouse. Which is, for a laptop, is a real pain in the butt, you know?
So. Yeah. Well,
any ideas?
Well, how old is this computer?
It's 2.2 gigahertz. It's old. It might be 5 years old.
Well,
at 5 years, you know, you're starting to think about...
This guy works at the Texas Renaissance Festival. He can't afford new hardware.
Well, you know, as I get older, I'm used to things getting unresponsive, so it's just another in a long list.
It's kind of 50-50. It sounds like the connector's just worn out, you know, due to just stress and being old, being 5 years old. You can get replacement keyboards for pretty cheap on eBay or different parts, but if it's the actual, if it's the other part where it actually, you know, where the keyboard ribbon actually plugs into the MacBook Pro, that's going to be pretty expensive. So you're looking at between $30 for a new replacement keyboard, or if the other thing is replaced, I think that actually goes directly onto the main board.
Right.
That's going to be, you know, new laptop.
So you could possibly, if the connector on the system board where the ribbon cable plugs in, if that connector is defective, it's going to be an expensive repair because you're talking about a replacement of the system board. If the connector coming from the keyboard is what's defective, then you get a new keyboard with a new connector, and it might just plug right in for about $30.
If you unplug both of them and kind of look, there's, you know, like probably 30 or 40 different contacts in there. Usually what happens is one of those contacts will start to fall off, or it'll start to kind of peel away, or the lamination will come off. If you can look and, you know, inspect it for damage and verify, you know, kind of visually inspect to make sure there's nothing coming off on the main board side, the one that's connected to the laptop still, there's a good chance it would work.
Now, is that little narrow, because there's two ribbon cables under the battery, and that little narrow one plugs into the keyboard?
Whatever it's plugged into right now.
Okay. And so my options are buy a brand new MacBook Pro, and my wife's listening to this show, so...
Hi!
She's real excited about that.
Wait till late June if you do that, at least.
And but there's if I can see that there's bad connectors, or, you know, it's bent or something... If it's on the one that goes to the keyboard, then it's worth spending $30 on
eBay.
Yeah,
I would say so. Just pull it out and inspect it. Just take a really close look at it and see if anything looks wrong with the keyboard. Go ahead and replace it.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, a $30 investment, you know, might be worth it. Even if, you know, if you can't really tell which it is, you might still try going that route and see if that doesn't clear it up. Or if you happen to know somebody else who has... MacBook Pro that would let you do surgery on it and borrow their keyboard for a bit.
Well, my wife has one.
Maybe she'll be the one getting a new computer.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Well, yeah, just buy the new computer for her.
There you go. Or tell her that anyway.
Yeah. Just gonna spend a couple of years getting it ready to go. Yeah, it's hard to surprise her now, isn't it?
She's always gotten my old one, but now the newer one doesn't work. It's like, oh man. Well, I'll inspect the connectors
and detect, diagnose, and correct.
That sounds perfect.
All right, well, it's good to hear
reduce,
from you.
Reuse, recycle. Okay, good.
Wash,
good
rinse,
talk to you, man. I saw you dropping names on Facebook, by the way.
Yeah.
So, some band guy, I don't know, some little crummy band.
Oh, they weren't little and crummy. Nitro, man. He also was the drummer for Hanson. That wasn't a little band. All right, so anyway, we're just talking
hey,
Facebook.
Man, thanks a lot.
It's good to talk to you, Bill. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good talking to you, Lee. Bye.
All right, yeah.
Hanson, the boy band?
Yes. Yes, my friend that I grew up with, Bob Brock, also known as Bobby Rock. And he played for Hanson. He played for, what was the other band? I'll have to look at my Facebook to remind myself. But he had posted a picture of Nitro, and it's got
and him. Who is Nitro?
Nitro is the heavy metal band that, Google it. And,
okay.
And he's the heavy metal band that he played with. I guess.
I mean, you weren't in that band.
I wasn't in that.
Okay.
You gotta look at these guys.
Okay.
Let me pull this up real quick because I gotta remind myself of the other band that.
That's
he was
some
in.
Range, though. Hanson to.
Well, okay. He played with. The picture I got on my Facebook is of him with Nitro, and let's see. And I said,
wow.
He played drums for Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and the guy, he looks, and he always has looked the part of the consummate heavy metal musician. I mean,
nice.
He had his hair is big and phone cord curls. He works out. He's muscular. He's perfectly fit. I mean, I walked through with him. One time we went walking through the Galleria, and it was just amazing how many chicks were just literally throwing themselves at this guy. And he's completely clean and sober. He's completely a decent fellow. He's just the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. But when Vinnie Vincent Invasion, when we were walking in the mall, he was playing in Vinnie Vincent Invasion, and he was walking through the mall in his 80s hairband duds.
Right.
And it was just, it was insane.
Wow. 'Cause
it was obvious it was very pretentious and 80s hairband kind of way, but so much of that came natural to him. It was only slightly affected. It was so weird. Just kind of strange. All right, so anyway, enough name dropping. Bobby Rock, if he's out there, he's in California, actually. And he is actually a very good drummer. That's him, yeah. He's actually he does this thing called the Monster where each hand and each foot are all doing something different.
Oh, wow.
He plays the drum, and he does drum seminars and stuff. Just amazing.
I've heard his name.
I've definitely heard his name.
Yeah. All right. We'll take that Def Leppard. Only three limbs. there was a picture I posted on my Facebook. It was a picture of the Cookie Monster sitting in a leatherback chair looking kind of, regal. And it says, Def Leppard offered me a cookie once. Once. the drummer. All right. Groovehouse is screening a call for us now.
Plenty of room, though.
Yeah, we got plenty of open lines if you want to be on the air. We are 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And, all right, 713-526-5738. Groovehouse is in the process of screening a call. We'll have that momentarily. We're getting close to the top of the hour. We're going to have to take a short break. Are we having a Barrett time tonight?
No.
No.
No. Next
no.
time, I promise. I explained to everyone why. I lost an hour and a half trying to root
you
the
have
Kindle
to
ex- Fire. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
well, you have to explain to our listeners.
Yeah, the Kindle Fire has owned me so far, the 6.3 update.
I would like to just...
Didn't you get it working?
No, I got... No. The market still crashes.
Oh, the market.
So the deal is...
Which is what you want.
Which is what I want. I picked up a Kindle Fire because they're cheap. It's like a quarter, the price of an iPad. And it runs Android, but it runs a very crippled version of Android. I think it's like a 2.3.3 version.
And it's highly customized.
And it's highly customized. It's very much, I think Dwight and I were talking earlier before the show, and we said if Apple was the walled garden, this is like a jail cell with a plant or two, strategically placed in there. So, yeah, it's very limiting is what you can do, but it's extremely hackable. So that's kind of why I picked it up. But the deal is it was extremely hackable up until they released it with the 6.3 firmware for Kindle Fire. Right. So not so much anymore, and you need a Windows machine to do it. So I've got almost everything working. I can stream Amazon videos. I can sideload apps. It's rooted. But it crashes whenever I launch the
Google Market.
You're
going to hate me for saying this. But I understand that the Nook is much more hackable. And
But I was at Micro Center where they sold this and not that. It was an impulse kind of thing, you know?
As I understand, and there's quite a Nook community because it's been around.
A Nook community.
It's been around for longer than the Kindle, and so that it's a little more mature in terms of the mods. So,
so once again, your desire to live outside the edges has
this cost me so much more time than all
this is why I'm getting an iPhone. All right, so
he could just talk about the Geek Gathering because we need to.
Well, definitely going to mention the Geek Gathering.
All right, we're going to do a faux Barrett time.
Faux Barrett.
We can do it without the bed music.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We'll see.
In a few minutes, a couple minutes.
All right.
Minutes.
We got a call?
Sure, we do.
Let's talk to him.
All right, let's talk to Syed.
Syed, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi. Before I get to my question, I just wanted to mention back before Bob Brock was just actually working on the Vinnie Vincent album, I met him up at Champions Music. I don't know if you remember. He used to teach there.
Oh, yeah. I do remember.
Awesome. Yeah, and just I have to echo, I mean, obviously you're his friend. Very, very nice guy. I mean, really, truly, we were just a bunch of kids, and he took posed for pictures, and we were so thrilled to hear the backing tracks. There weren't even any vocals yet. He just brought over what he had to show it to his friends, and he played it for us, too. So
that
was
is
a
killer.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I mean, he literally is probably the nicest guy I've ever met in my life, and he is awesome. So it's good to know that you had that experience with him.
Absolutely, he's an amazing drummer, too. He is a very talented guy.
Well, he and I are friends on Facebook, and he had posted this picture of him with Nitro, and it's so over the top. And
Nitro was pretty over the top, too. I can't say I was a fan of Nitro, but certainly Bob Rock, I mean, from that first meeting, really made an impression. I've always just tried to follow his career and really admire the guy.
That's awesome.
The question I had, and I don't know if you guys can help me here, but I ordered a generic knockoff 10-inch tablet PC called Flytouch 3.
Flytouch?
Flytouch. It's out of China. And it's got this little bitty pin that the charger fits into. And I guess my kids, it was actually for my daughter, and I guess they were too rough with it and we got bent or something, so it only charges if I hold it in a certain position, you know, on one leg, full moon type of thing. So I wondered if there was anyone you know or any way to get it repaired versus me sending it back to them to get it repaired.
$99, I mean, shipping just to go back to China and back, you know, that's half the price. I would maybe look around locally.
Right, but I took it to the local person that fixes computers and such for me. And
what did you say was wrong with it again?
It's the connection where the charger fits in, plugs in, I guess, whatever that pin is on the receiving end, the male part inside the casing.
I don't think that's going to be that easily repaired without replacing, like, the mother. All right, but listen, we got to take a break before the top of the hour, but I'll direct you someplace real quick. Try the computer hospital.
Okay.
They're the only people I know that specialize in laptops, and you might try them out.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. All right. Well, you're listening to Technology Bites here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
We'll be back right after this.
Don't think you can make a difference? Be part of a movement that can revolutionize the radio station you know and love. By joining KPFT's Sustainer program, you can support your station and help KPFT reduce its pledge drives. What's a Sustainer? Rather than giving a yearly gift, Sustainers give a monthly donation that continues as long as you want. Giving $20, $100, or $500 monthly helps change the way KPFT operates. From having to meet our operating expenses through days and days of on-air fundraising, to friends of the station boosting it off-air throughout the fiscal year. Contact our development director at 713-526-4000 to inquire about our Sustainer program. Did you know Sustainers can ultimately give a gift that is substantially larger than annual givers? That means less pledge drive, more efficiency, and greater stability for KPFT, regardless of the time of year. Again, just call our development director at 713-526-4000 to inquire about our Sustainer program. Make a difference today. This is KPFT Houston.
The Women's Internet International League for Peace and Freedom will sponsor the 12th annual Peace Camp to be held July 23rd through the 27th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The location is the Cameron Retreat Center, located at 2403 Holcomb Boulevard. The camp's mission is to provide an alternate day camp experience for children 5 to 11 years old, which fosters an understanding of peace, justice, and respect. This year's theme will be courage. For additional information, visit the website peacecamphouston.org to get an application. This camp requires a small tuition for the week, and some scholarships are available. This is Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpfthouston.
And we're back.
All right. So glad to be back.
Yes.
That was the longest minute of my life.
2 minutes.
God. Even worse.
Even worse.
All right.
So terrible.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we are taking your calls. But first, Barrett has a special message for you.
Geek Gathering this Friday. I think it's 2503 Bagby. I believe
you
the address
the
is 2503 Bagby.
Bagby at McGowan.
Bagby
at
McGowan across the street from Specs. Things get started around 7:30. They go till probably 11 o'clock or so.
Right.
I know that KD5 is going to bring out some Arduino stuff. We'll have some, hopefully, some working rooted Kindle stuff.
I will have one of the new Chromebooks.
Ooh. Yeah, multiple
on
reasons to come out.
Google sent me a Chromebook, so I'll have that there. This is at what used to be known as the Coffee Grounds. It still says that on the sign, unless they've changed it since I last saw it. But it's now known as Aperture. So same place, same geeks. Be there, aloha.
That's it?
Be there, aloha.
Siri, are you talking? Do you have a talking schedule? Are you going to be anywhere, Dwight, this next week?
No, I'm nowhere, man.
He's a real.
Nowhere, man.
Nowhere, man.
All right, 713-526-5738. We hope you come out to the Geek Gathering. It's not nowhere, and there's photos.
It's everywhere. I've been everywhere, man.
Oh, I've been everywhere. Oh, so you don't want to go with the Beatles. You're going to go with
Johnny. Since Flicked it in here, I'll have to invoke
Johnny. The Man in Black.
Yeah.
When does Flicked get back? We have a couple more weeks.
I think we have a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what the official. He said a month.
Yeah.
That's a sizable chunk of time.
That is a sizable chunk.
A little sabbatical. With an accent and a beard. So
I'm very proud of our boy Flicked going off on.
To be honest, I actually thought he was moving there. I didn't realize.
I think he wants to.
I didn't realize it was just.
Well, I don't want to air too much of Flicked's personal laundry.
Of course not.
I think there was a greater possibility before a certain event in his life that he might want to move there, but I think things have changed and he might want to stay.
Okay.
Please stay, Flicked. We need you. All right, well, hopefully he'll get that on the podcast later. All right, Groove House?
Yes.
See, we have one call in the queue and all these open lines at 713-526-5738. But we're going to go ahead and take this call.
Okay.
Who is it?
All right, up next on the second half of the show, we're going to take Roland.
Roland, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I just got a question. I got internet at home and internet on my phone. And I'm thinking about dropping the internet at home and using my phone as a hotspot.
Who's your provider? Who's your provider?
T-Mobile.
Well, T-Mobile does offer technically unlimited, so...
What do you do on your home connection?
Not much. I use my phone more than I do the home.
So no movies, no songs, no downloading anything big?
No. Just looking up... getting information, that's about it, you know.
Surfing.
And most of the time, it's when I use my phone at work to get information, and which is, you know, and I can also print from my phone to my wireless printer. So I was thinking about just dropping the home internet. It's a lot more expensive than the phone internet.
Well, the way T-Mobile's internet works, even if you have their technically unlimited service, is you get past a certain point of usage and they start throttling you for the month until the month is out, so it'll slow down.
Also, they don't allow you to use multiple devices on that connection technically unless you pay for the tethering.
Okay. if I'm using the laptop, let's say I get the laptop and I use the laptop, I can send my printing stuff to the printer from the laptop.
No.
Well, no, wirelessly not wirelessly. You won't be able to do it because you'll be connected directly to the internet, not to a local area network.
Okay.
So you, you'd have to wire to connect to your projector.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But if you do any kind of streaming or videos or anything like that, it's going to be
tough.
I mean, yeah.
Well, and it's just not going to be very good.
Right.
Yeah, well, see, I had 2 gigs, and I barely always just went about 500 megs, and I was, like, losing a gig and a half every month.
But that will change dramatically using it the way you do computer. At home, using a computer at home. You probably will go over the 2 gig.
Well, that they're going to up it up to 5. So I was just wondering if it's the security problem with it. I mean, is it going to be a problem?
No,
not at all.
Okay. All right. Well, they're giving me 5 gigs. I was just wondering if it was a good idea or not, you know, being I don't use it that much.
If you really don't do anything multimedia, you know, it could work for you.
Well, certainly try it.
Well, let me, which internet provider are you using for your home internet right now?
Comcast.
Okay. Comcast is without a contract, so you can cancel it, and you can always reactivate it later. Are you going to have to increase what you're paying to T-Mobile right now?
Yeah, $10.
$10. Do you have to sign a contract to do that?
No.
No, so you want...
When you get a new phone, you got to go for 2 years.
So if you add the plan to use the mobile hotspot or the tethering or whatever to your plan... And then you cancel Comcast and you use that for a while and it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, then you can always discontinue that add-on and go back to Comcast or even consider going to DSL or something.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you.
Let us know how it turns out.
All right.
That would be curious to know. All right. Thanks for your call, Roland.
So I'm playing with, I'm playing with this beta version of Echo Phone for Mac, which is the Twitter client for Mac. Does you use Echo Phone for
Mac? I loaded it at one point. I tell you, I'm a TweetDeck man.
Okay.
Because I like to monitor Facebook and Twitter.
All right. See, I don't like Facebook and TweetDeck. But this beta version has a really interesting feature called Add Screenshot. And it has a screenshot feature built into the Twitter client, and it's essentially on the Mac, you do add screenshot, it gives you the little target, you draw what you want to grab, and then it automatically sticks it into the composition window for you to go send as a tweet.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I will use that a lot. In fact, I use it right now.
Do you find yourself sending a lot of screenshots? Other than showing the screenshot of the thing that gets the screenshot?
I do that all the time. I do it all the time.
So that would also mean that when, you know... Rather than having to find the link to the image or whatever and tweet that, you could just do a screen grab.
Yep.
It's pretty quick. Just throw out images left and right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's going to get messy.
It's going to, well, yeah. So basically it's like Pinterest. So you're not going to have to give any attribution to the original artist. You're just going to be claiming it as your own and tweeting it out.
Coming for you, Mr. Lee.
Do not.
It scrubs away everything. Huh?
Do not infringe my copyright. I can only tell you that would not be good for you.
Dwight's not nearly crazy enough.
No. All right. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. Groove House?
Yes.
Who's up?
All right. Up next, we are going to take Stu.
Stu.
Hello, Joan. How's it going tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good. Real good. I've got an old 2005 compact PC, you know, that just does all the things PCs do, which is normally take a ton of time to do everything.
Crash.
But I've got I have an Apple MacBook Pro coming tomorrow.
Woo!
It's got,
Why did you buy now, though?
I'm sorry?
Why did you choose this moment in time to buy the new MacBook Pro?
Because it takes about 45 minutes to an hour for my PC just to boot up.
Woo!
Why didn't you wait 6 more weeks, I guess is what Jay's asking.
Well, he may not have been aware that the release cycle on the MacBooks right now, Apple's probably going to be announcing a whole new line of MacBooks.
But yours is still pretty cool.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just talking about from a monetary point of view, it may not have been the best time to buy. And if that's a concern to you, since it's coming tomorrow, you're still in your return grace period if you want to send it back. I had somebody else contact me who figured that out. They bought a MacBook. They were struggling with it. They said, well, they got the new ones coming out. By the time I learned this, I'm going to be really sad I didn't buy the new ones. So they returned it.
Well, I paid less than $8.50 for it. And it's got a, it's got.
Did you buy it from Apple or did you buy it from?
No, I bought it from eBay.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that explains everything.
That's fine.
But it's still under warranty until 2014.
All right. Okay.
So it's a 13 inch. It's got an Intel Core 2 Duo, 2.4 gigahertz. It's running Mac OS 10 Lion, 10.7.2. Got 250 gig HDD, 4 gig DDR3 RAM.
All right, I'm fairly familiar with some of the specs on a MacBook Pro.
Okay.
But what's your question?
The question is, how do I get the contents on my hard drive of my PC over to the Mac? Now, God.
Well, first of all, what content are we talking about specifically?
Oh, just some
your
a few apps,
and
not
stuff.
Many. Photos, family
okay.
photos.
Photos, documents, that sort of thing. The easiest thing to do would be to get an external hard drive, like a USB hard drive that has some storage on it. Plug it into your Windows computer, wait a half a day for it to boot up, and copy them over to the USB drive. And then take that USB drive and plug it into the Mac and then copy them where you want them to go in the folders on the Mac.
Okay, cool. That got my attention. I suppose I could always sell this and go for one of the new ones, but those are going to be a little...
Well, now, if you got a good deal on a computer that's still under warranty on eBay, I mean, $800 and something sounds like a good price for that. As long as it is under warranty, I think you actually got a good deal. Give you an opportunity to get familiar with the Mac and understand how it works, and then, you know, maybe you'll buy a new one later, but...
Oh, my kids have used Macs, for like 15 years. So.
Okay, well, good. That'll help you out. One thing to consider is that your Windows computer that's having so much trouble, once you get up and running with the new MacBook, you might consider just, reloading that Windows computer. You could probably, get it to run better if you just reformatted it and reloaded the operating system.
Do a clean reinstall Windows.
Yeah. Because the only reason it slowed down is probably not due to anything having to do with the hardware. The hardware doesn't technically wear out on a computer. The software just becomes, the integrity of the software install just degrades.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the minimum that I need, because when I do the applications manager or whatever it's called on PCs.
The task manager.
Yeah, task manager. It's like there's like 30 things running at one time, and I'm sure I don't need all of them.
Well, the thing is that, some of them you do and some of them you don't. And it's understanding what they are before you can start turning things off.
Yeah, and they're all in, computer speak, which I don't do.
Right.
So, anyway, listen, y'all been a big help, and I happen to have a 16-gig removable little stick hard drive thing.
Well, that might help you.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
Hey, thank you very much for the answers.
All right, thanks for your call.
Yeah, have a good night. Bye-bye.
By the way, for those who are thinking about buying an Apple product, if you want to kind of know where things are in the product cycle, there's a very good site at Mac Rumors, the Mac Rumors Buyer's Guide. It's buyersguide.macrumors.com, and it shows you all of the products that Apple makes and whether you should stop and wait, or whether you're coming close to a replacement, or whether it's clear. The only one at the moment on the list that has the little green button next to it is the iPad. The iPhone, the iPod Touch are both amber, which means watch it. The MacBook Pro is red, which means don't buy it. MacBook Air is amber. All of the desktop Macs are red. Don't buy them. So a lot of things are going to be up for refreshments this year.
Yay. Cookies.
Cookies. Yeah.
I think the caveat for the MacBook Pro, like the guy that he might have got a new one, was only if you need right now.
Yeah, if you need it right now, if your machine's dead. If you buy one now, you're gonna like what you get. But the next MacBook Pros are gonna be a little thinner. They may or may not have optical drives on them. They probably will borrow a lot from the MacBook Air. That's the expectation. But if I could wait right now, I would definitely
cut my fingers crossed for a lot thinner. The 15-inch may be the new workstation for me, if it's thin.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm interested in. If I was going to get a new MacBook Pro. Pro of any kind is that matte finish screen. Boy, that is nice. Remember that one that...
Yeah, they make the rumor is that the 17-inch MacBook Pro is doomed, that it's going away. That's the only one right now that has the matte finish screen. Am I right there, Peter? That's the only one, the 15-inch isn't available with that?
Good question. I that one I don't remember off the top of my head. Sorry.
I think it's only the 17.
So they're saying that the 17-inch MacBook Pro is doomed?
That's the rumor.
The battleship's going to go down.
Right. The lunch tray will be gone.
Lunch tray.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks like a lunch tray.
That's good for me because I like my 13-inch.
I love it.
I just think it's the perfect form factor. Mm-hmm. But that 17-inch MacBook Pro with the matte finish for just looking at photos and doing that kind of stuff, that's pretty awesome. Wish there was some kind of 17-inch shell that the 13-inch could kind of blend with.
Do you know anything about this? Is Gateway actually going to make, I think it was Gateway, a 17-inch Android tablet? I vaguely remember something like that. Like they just said, you know, 7 inches, 10.1 inches, like let's go 22 or 17. It's huge, and they're unveiling it somewhere. But I just thought that was like a joke. But I don't think it is a joke.
No, I don't think so either.
That's a lunch tray. It's thinking all the way around the box. Yes. Yeah.
All right, 713-526-5738. There's about 45 minutes left in the show. We've already made our goal for fundraiser.
Last week
we did. Yep, that's right. We have this time now where we can actually have a real computer show. So we invite you to call in 713-526-5738 and be on the air with us. Right now there is a call in the queue. All the other lines are open. Groovehouse.
Yes.
There's a call in the queue.
There is a call in the queue. Let's take it.
Well, who is it?
All right, that call in the queue is Randy.
Randy, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey.
Wow, Randy. Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Now you're breaking up.
Let me cut back.
All right.
Okay.
Have you seen that commercial for the minivan or whatever with it that spoofs the whole intro of the Million Dollar Man?
No.
Where it has the minivan, it's got all these different, it's coming in on this desert and it's all falling apart.
Yeah, it's like Honda, I think, right? It's Mazda.
Oh, it's great. It's just so awesome. It's the whole intro of the spaceship coming in and crashing, you know, but it's this car that's falling apart.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I've seen that.
Maybe didn't quite realize it was
Well, I fast forward to commercials, so I may have seen it.
I miss a lot of good commercials that way.
We got Randy back.
Yeah,
let's talk back to Randy. Let's take Randy.
All right. Randy.
Hey, good evening. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Excellent. I've got a Linux question for you. I have a small accounting firm, about 12, 13, 14 employees, and we're currently running on all the machines Windows Professional, and I know that at some point that's going to end, and I'm actually interested in trying to experiment with Unix. Or excuse me, not Linux.
Okay.
And I've been kind of browsing through the different versions of that operating system. And most of my programs that I've got to use are going to be resource hogs. It's like XP, it just grinds. And I just want to tell my version of Linux.
Well, the problem you're going to run into with trying to run Linux on your desktops is finding the applicable, you know, the comparable apps to run on these PCs to do your jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just run Windows apps on them.
Okay.
I'm sorry you're breaking up again, Randy. It's you're really breaking up, unfortunately. But I wouldn't worry so much that XP's going away. If you were to take these systems and reload the operating systems and do some software refresh, you could still get some more life out of them. And in new computers running Windows, obviously that might be a little bit more expensive. If you're interested in exploring Linux, I recommend that you find a piece of hardware to dedicate to it and get it loaded on the computer and start playing with it to see if there's a way to make it meet the needs of your employees at your company.
All right. Hey, look, I appreciate it, man.
All right. Well, appreciate your call tonight, Randy. Thanks for thinking of us. All right. Unfortunately, the connection he has is just, it's worse than Pete's.
I think he's got a VoIP phone.
Thanks.
I think he was using voice over IP. Yeah, because he called twice and we had bad connections.
There was something over IP, but it wasn't voice. Yeah.
The 22-inch Android tablet, it's by ViewSonic.
At least it is.
They're going to be dropping it at Computex in Taipei, and June 5th is when they're going to unveil it. Supposedly going to run Ice Cream Sandwich, and they're branding it as a business tablet.
At least it'll be sharp.
17-inch tablet.
ViewSonic,
22-inch.
That's a monitor.
It's a flat screen monitor without a stand.
Right. They get it right.
A stylus.
Microsoft is doing an 80-inch tablet that you hang on the wall, which essentially is the Surface, the Microsoft Surface, but on the wall.
And so you walk up to it and touch it and do everything.
Right, right.
Huh.
It'd be a Windows PC, Windows 8 PC.
Like home integration and all that stuff maybe built in?
Could be. Windows 8.
Windows 8.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Somebody had a photo of Windows 8 with all the nice little blocks, and they compared it to AOL back in the day with all the... They had their screen.
Oh, yeah,
all
right,
the blocks.
Right.
That was
right.
Pretty funny.
So I wonder if like smart TVs are just going to go away and we're just going to have ultra big tablets on the walls. You know, things are going to go that way.
I think what eventually will happen is that just the walls will be.
Yeah.
The walls have eyes. You know?
Like OLED wallpaper kind of
right,
stuff?
Right, exactly.
All right, 713-526-5738, Groove House.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
All right, up next, we are going to take Bob.
Bob, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes, sir. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. It's the first time I've listened to your show. I'm an ex-geek myself, so I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a problem with my AT&T phone. I have a smartphone, which is a 4G, and about 4 months ago, we had my wife and I both had 3G phones and started getting areas where we weren't getting connection. Would lose your call automatically, and when I confront them about it, they would tell me that it was because they were getting rid of their 3G towers, that the only option I had was to purchase new phones and make them 4Gs.
And AT&T that I wouldn't have told you this? Problem.
But nothing has changed since then, and it just infuriates me when I get this $100, $150 phone bill every month that I'm dedicated to pay, but yet I don't have the service.
AT&T said this to you?
Yes.
Now, well, what area?
I live on the outskirts of Cleveland.
I was going to say, where do you live? That's going to be a factor.
Well, I live about 8 or 9 miles east of Cleveland, Texas, in Tarkenton Prairie. The lady that is across from me, which is the next farmhouse, has DSL. But DSL doesn't reach our area, but yet AT&T has purchased or leased an area on the corner of my daughter's lot right next door to me to put a DSL site there, which never has happened.
Well, that is an ongoing struggle when it comes to DSL, is trying to get this endpoint out to the, you know, to the outskirts of town and these areas.
In the rural areas.
In the rural areas. That's an ongoing problem. And the same is true for cellular coverage.
You know,
you have density of towers inside the major metropolitan areas, and the further you get out, it gets a little more sparse. Unless you're on like the main highway.
Right. I understand that. Coming from a computer background, I know with upgrades and everybody going from 3G to 4G that is an issue. But, you know, to have your service taken away, I mean, I can drive a mile away from my house and I will not have service until I hit Cleveland, Texas, which is 8 miles away. And being a construction, you know, owner of my own construction company, it's very volatile that I don't get connection there because I just don't get calls.
It's odd that that AT&T would take a tower away. What they're doing in most cases is retrofitting existing towers to be able to handle LTE as well. So I'm almost thinking that you got bad information from the rep that you talked to. That sounds like they didn't quite know what they were talking about, which happens a lot with all of the cellular companies.
I understand that.
One thing you might do is the FCC has an initiative where they are pushing to get broadband into rural areas. And you might communicate what you have heard to the FCC and CC AT&T on this communication, a lot of times that may get somebody's attention.
How close is the next farmhouse?
It's probably 2.5 acres away. I mean, I even thought about sticking a router out in the middle of their yard.
I mean, if you can see it, you can actually get antennas and stuff like that. You don't necessarily have to, get directional antennas and point them at each other. You could do that. And also, if they're getting cellular, you can also maybe Google something called a femtocell, F-E-M-T-O-C-E-L-L.
Uh-huh.
And those will actually propagate 3G, and I think some of the new ones are actually doing 4G wireless signals a little bit further. So they're made for, taking cell phone signals and getting it inside of office buildings that, may have a lot of shielding, or just expanding it out to a different range where you might be just a little bit out of range. But those can go for a couple hundred, so you might want to look into those, too.
Yeah, similar to the old wired repeaters.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same kind of thing. Or, just go get a really big, beefy, 802.11n or something like that, a wireless router, maybe the kind that has an external antenna that can be put on, and just see how far away you can, get that signal. You might be surprised. You can go a few hundred yards outside.
Yeah, well, that won't help my cellular service, though, will it?
No, the femtocell is going to be for cellular, and then maybe getting a strong repeater or a strong Wi-Fi router is going to help you with the broadband from the neighbor's house.
I see. Okay. Have you heard the issues with AT&T as far as that goes, as far as dropping towers?
I've never heard of them dropping any equipment. I just don't see them. If anything, they're trying to put more equipment up to get to increase coverage. I don't see them pulling a tower out.
I think you got bad information.
I think what may have also have happened is that whoever you talked to was just looking to upgrade your phone and sell you an upgrade.
Yeah.
And saying that 3G is on the way out, 4G is the new thing, you need to buy this. I don't think that they're pulling that stuff out. I think you got bad information. I think you got, maybe driven by a sales guy who was trying to upgrade you. And and there might have been a reasonable expectation that a new 4G phone would give you better performance or better connectivity. But he may have missed the mark, not realizing that really your problems are more a symptom of your distance from the metropolitan area than it is about the hardware that you're using.
Exactly. Also, the one thing that may have happened where you had service and do you have weak service now or no service?
Well, I'll be talking, and as soon as I get out of Cleveland, it will shut my call right off.
You can, one of the things that may be happening is that they can tune or change the directionality of the signal. So it could be that they're aiming their signal at a more dense area that they feel needs better service. And because they will go to density. If they have one person complaining in a area that's not dense and 40 people who are complaining because they're not getting service in the other direction, which way do you think they're going to point their antenna?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, it's you live in the beautiful country, live out there away from the city, and you pay the price. And that's kind of, that's what's happening in the current age.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, my friends. Well, I sure appreciate your show.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and I hope you tune in again.
Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right. 713-526-5738. Are you looking around, up and down?
I'm checking the clocks. I'm looking at the phone number. I'm just looking all over.
Groove House is large and in charge, mostly.
Wandering eyes.
hey, the radio shows up here, pal. All right. It looks like we got somebody on the line, but we're going to give out the number again. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. We are interested in taking your call, so give us a ring. Up next is
Mike.
Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm new to the iPad world, old to regular old stuff.
Right.
so at home, I've got a wireless print server that's keeping my old parallel HP going, HP printer. So it's just a regular LPR-based print server from Linksys. What I'm wondering about is what kind of utility, do I even bother trying to get my iPad to print to this thing?
Probably.
Do I need to go to AirPrint?
Yes. That's at least... I will say this. I don't know how old your old printer is, but I had an old printer, and I didn't really do much to network or anything, but I've got one of the new wireless HP printers that supports AirPrint, and it is so awesome. It works so good because I bring up the, it, you know, it shows up on my network. All my devices see it. It just, it broadcasts itself to the network. So all my Apple computers and my iPad, they all will connect to it and print just fine.
However, if you have, do you
is there an AirPrint server?
There isn't an AirPrint server, but there's software out there that you can run on your computer that will work with any printer. Whether it is AirPrint compatible or not. So, for example,
so you have to run it on the computer.
You run it on the computer that the printer's connected to.
Right. So you have to have the computer on and the printer connected to the printer before you can print to it with your iPad.
Right. And which is what I do. I mean, I run this software called AirPrint Activator.
Okay.
And it will run. This happens to be Apple. It runs on a Mac. That I believe there's similar software for Windows, but essentially once you install it, you have it on, you're on the same wireless network, your iPad will see your printer connected to the computer running the software and sees it as a printer can print to, and it works great.
Okay.
It's called AirPrint Activator.
All right, and it's not going to matter. I mean, as long, well, I've just got Windows machines. Not up to the Mac yet. Just start with the iPad.
If you do a Google search for AirPrint Activator Windows, yeah, and you will probably see programs that are comparable to it.
Got it. Okay. All right. Appreciate the help.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good luck. Thanks for your call. Bye. Buy a new printer with AirPrint, Dwight.
I have a great printer that I love.
Is it an HP 4P or whatever?
No. It's a Canon Pixma MP780. It's an older one. But it scans beautifully. It's a scanner. It's got everything.
Yeah.
And I have no reason to replace it. It works great.
I still have my HP LaserJet 4L.
Circa
1993. It still works.
Yeah.
Probably have the same cartridge, right?
Second or third cartridge. And like one little wheel broke a long time ago, but it fixed that. So I can't throw it away now. It's old enough to
it's
drink.
It's a piece of hardware that actually hasn't failed him.
Yes, the only piece.
He is not going to get rid of that. Not Old Faithful. Don't take Old Yeller. Don't shoot Old Yeller. All right. Wow, nobody in the queue. All right. So we got 30 minutes left in the show tonight here on Technology Bites. The phone number is 713-526-5738. Pete, you going to come to Houston for the Geek Gallery? Probably not.
Probably not this time, sorry.
You know, we'll call it July. The July Geek Gathering will be in celebration of our 17th anniversary.
Wow.
Wow.
Almost legal.
I'm a maybe.
Start with the colleges.
Yeah, 17 years of Technology Bites. That's right. All right, so we got all these open lines. Give us a call at 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight.
We take computer questions.
We do. We take computer calls. We'll talk to you. We'd be happy to do that. And, wow.
It's your calls that keep this show on the air.
Right, it's your problems that keep this show going.
You know, so that means nobody listening to us is having a problem with their computer. Nobody at this moment hearing us, all their computers are working beautifully. Aha!
You're assuming anybody's listening at all.
So we can have one call with a really big problem or calls with just some smaller problems. or if you're a sustainer, you can call back because you call
counts.
Every week.
Every problem counts. And we'll go to help us keep this show entertaining and on the air. Yeah, you know. Wow, look at that. Everybody who thought they were going to be right to the top of the line was going to. Okay, it's Kojo.
Of course it is.
Let's take line one.
All right.
Kojo, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
It's a pity call.
Actually, no, this is a relevant call about the printing stuff you guys were just talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so remember I was asking a couple of weeks ago about how to hook up an old printer, and I've got a printer similar to the one Barrett has. Barrett says he's got a LaserJet 4L.
Yes.
I've got a 4MP, which is like there's like the L and the ML. The M was like for Mac, and then the 4P and the 4MP were the next step up. And so I've got one of those. I was in Micro Center the other day, and I saw a parallel to USB cable, which I had never seen before. And so I'm wondering, if I get one of those, will I be able to just, you know, plug the parallel end in, into my old printer, then the USB end into my, my new Mac and go to printing? Or
provided, I would just double-check and make sure that there are Mac drivers for it, and it's not just like a Windows only. But yeah, check the packaging, and if there are drivers for it, it should work.
Okay, so drivers for the cable or for the printer?
Yeah, drivers for, yeah, drivers from, for a USB to parallel interface. And usually there's a little bitty chip that's built into the cable and the sheath. It's so small you wouldn't even know it's in there, but it's somewhere in there.
Okay, so, so I should check online to see if there are drivers for that sort of cable.
Well, yeah, it should be, well, not for the cable necessarily, but just, for the printer.
Yeah, USB to parallel.
Oh.
And then for the printer. Because that those little things, like a lot of, like, that's why Flickton and I, for like 2 months, went through all these USB to serial things for the Mac, because it was really hard to get a good cable that had good drivers to match it.
Okay.
So that's the deal. I'm looking right now just to see what it, the landscape looks like. Yeah, there's a couple of years ago, there's Mac OS X. If you go to supportapple.com, they've got a few articles about printing USB to parallel and how to get the drivers going and how to set up the printers. So, yeah, it looks like it can be totally done.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I need to take something back to Micro Center tomorrow anyway, so I might try to pick up one of those cables, and then I'll be able to put my my 1993 Laserjet 4NP back in business.
Good luck, yeah, shopping the cables. They put those things back on the shelf just kind of like with, you know, two eyes closed, and, yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks for your call.
Good luck.
You bailed us out.
All right.
All right.
Goodbye.
Yeah. All right. Kojo got the ball rolling. We got some calls in the queue.
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Who's up next?
All right. Up next, we are going to take Kenneth.
Kenneth, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, thank you. Quick question. I recently bought a tablet back in January. I bought the Transformer Prime.
Nice.
I decided to go with the Android system only because I thought it was the poor man's salvation. And I'm wondering, did I really make a mistake, and how much better is the new iPad?
They're two different machines. I mean, they're two different beasts, I think.
It a lot depends what you're wanting to do. If you're wanting to get in and play with it and configure it and do lots of stuff, you're probably on the right track with the Android. If you want it to just work and you download stuff and it goes, then the iPad might make you happier.
Did you get the keyboard to go along with the Transformer?
Well, not yet, and the reason why, it kind of upset me a little bit, because I kind of bought it thinking, you know, if it takes away some of the usage of my laptop, and I could, you know, get some of the productivity on the fly, as opposed to toting around this 5-pound laptop. Well, it turns out that I'm starting to have a little issue with the system automatically rebooting. I don't know if I actually downloaded something and got some garbage in there, but my spyware and everything says everything's clean. So I'm wondering, did I just go with an inferior system as far as when I went with my first tablet? Or, you know, I did want some sort of productivity out of a tablet, and I didn't think Apple offered that.
I mean, Apple might be a little bit different, but for the most part, as far as Android tablets go, they're for content consumption, not really for content creation. You know, you can do some real basic stuff like some emailing and, you know, some a little bit of two-way stuff, but for the most part, at least in my opinion, I don't think the tablets are quite ready to start creating stuff. It's mostly for consumers.
Well, it depends on what you want to do with it. I mean, I have an iPad, and the photo editors on the iPad are actually pretty good.
Well, iPad's different, basic, yeah, that's right, what I'm saying. Right. iPad's a different game, I think.
Right, but the other thing is that I don't think anybody should go into buying a tablet thinking they're going to replace a notebook computer, because that's not the case. Just the whole concept is different. The Transformer Prime actually tries to get around that with the keyboard capabilities of it. And and what you might try doing is going ahead and getting the keyboard, and, you know, that right there may change your mind about it.
And I really considered that, because I'm on the verge of buying a new laptop. My current laptop's 5 years old. But going through this whole experience, and I was going to automatically buy a Windows because that's what I'm used to, I'm wondering, should I just go ahead and bite the bullet and just invest in Apple? I mean, I love my iPod, but I didn't want anything else. So,
if you Barrett, do you know how much the Transformer Prime keyboard is?
It's not very much. It's like maybe $120. It's somewhere between $100 and $200. I want to say it's $129. Mm-hmm. One of my developers or my data analyst at work has one, and it looks like a little bitty. When you've got the thing on there, it looks like a netbook.
Right.
And what he likes about it is the keyboard actually protects the screen, and it covers quite a bit of it up. And he takes notes, but that I think he's still going to class. So I think where the strength is, if you're always going to be near a Wi-Fi connection, or if you're going to have a lot of online stuff, just having the keyboard there is going to be good for interacting with, you know, online applications. The weakness is if you're looking for a lot of, you know, like Microsoft replacement applications to be on your desktop. But if you do a lot of stuff online, it, you know, with keyboard, right, that could be a solid choice.
You know, the one thing you might consider doing before you do anything is go stop by an Apple store, get one of the folks there to spend some time with you showing you productivity applications and the kind of things you can do on an iPad. You can get a Bluetooth keyboard for the iPad and use a keyboard with it just like you can with the Transformer Prime. It doesn't have mouse support, which Android does. But you can look at the same time, you can look at a MacBook Pro and see if you might want to take that route. And then you'll have more information. You know, right now you're kind of shooting in the dark about whether you should do an iPad. Go spend some quality time at an Apple store and see what you think. And then go home and think about it for a while. And then you'll know more than you did before.
You could peer into the studio.
Go ahead, Pete.
I'm sorry. I'd also suggest, you know, for be productive with a tablet, and it doesn't matter Android or iOS or any of those, try something like Evernote and see if that helps meet more of your needs. If the problem is maybe of the software that you've got on your Android tablet, Evernote basically is a note-taking software. It lets you organize your stuff. It stores them in the cloud, and you can get them to your computer. You can get them, you know, you can enter notes from your computer and then read them on your Android. You can edit them on the Android. You can create new ones, and maybe that'll help let you get more out of it even without a keyboard, but the keyboard will work with it.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you for everything.
All right, Kenneth, thanks for your call. All right.
People can actually see into the studio. I mean, the way that we've got everything set up in here is there's actually, you know, a number of laptops, and the tablets are kind of out next to the laptops. You know, and even Jay Lee usually has a tablet out. So it's not like anyone's replacing, you know, one with the other. You use them in tandem, really.
They're different things.
They're different things altogether. Yeah. I mean, the tablet is good. If I need to quickly look something up online while I'm running around, it's great. You know, there's some things that are tablet-specific that are nice to have that I wouldn't want to whip a laptop out for. But really, depending on what it is I'm going to do, I decide whether I'm going to go to the tablet or go to the laptop or even go to the desktop. But I know that, you know, not everybody's budget supports having all three. So you want to find the device that's going to give you the most utility. And I think right now the most utility comes from a laptop overall in terms of portability and functionality. All blend together. But if you need pure portability, tablet's the way to go. If you need pure functionality, desktop is the way to go. The laptop still remains the bridge. Has now become the bridge between these two items. All right, Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right, up next, we're going to take George.
George, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My question, I hope the answer will be quick, but I'm not going to call it the old, you know, double Q thing there.
Right.
I was interested in finding out what you thought about, okay, internet TV, and there's kind of two phases to this question. I've just seen an ad recently for this thing called Rabbit TV. It's a USB plug-in, like a memory stick.
Uh-huh.
And you just plug it in, and then it gives you access. They're claiming 2,000 international TV channels.
Right, it gives you access to online TV, TV that's
exactly
being broadcast over the internet.
I was on my desktop just a little while ago, and I couldn't even find any reviews on it on Rabbit TV. I don't know. Is
the last time I looked at internet streaming television, it was pretty much a bunch of channels of unwatchable garbage.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's not like, you know, I mean, I think there was a piece of software I found one time that would do it, and it got a couple of international channels, which was great because I was looking for something to watch the World Cup on my computer, and that worked great because there were a lot of these international channels that do stream to the web.
Okay.
Would play that, but you're not going to find Desperate Housewives or, you know, your local news or that kind of thing on a device like this.
Okay. I was just, I thought that I read that somewhere, and I just wanted to reinforce it. Yeah, that was my main question.
Yeah, it's just it tends to be, how much are they asking for the
Rabbit? They've got a deal right now. You can get two of these sticks for $20 plus something like $13 shipping. So the total is like, okay, call it $35, $37. They charge $10 a year for the service. So for less than $40, you get two units and, you know, service for a year.
I'm seeing ads and places to buy all over, but I'm not seeing any reviews, and that kind of makes me nervous.
I know. That was odd, too, but I think this may be a new promotion or something.
I just, you know, I question where they're getting their content from and what they're selling you.
They're very nonspecific about that.
I mean, they may advertise hundreds of channels, but if what I've seen...
Well, yeah, and, you know, a bunch of it's going to be in...
in languages
RC
you don't speak...
Eskimo.
Exactly, Eskimo.
Yeah, who knows what?
Yeah, well, that's the ESPN, the Eskimo Sports Net.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, but if they're not out there touting, you know, if they're not saying what channels they have and being real clear about that, mm-hmm. then they're being dodgy. I wouldn't go for it.
Okay. Well, I kind of had the same feeling, but I thought maybe I was missing something.
No, doesn't sound like it.
Okay, guys. Well, I appreciate that.
Oh, you know, somebody suggested, you know, maybe getting like a box, like a DVD or something like that supports streaming television like Hulu.
Like a
right.
Roku
yeah. I'm aware. Yeah, I know a little bit more about that.
I mean, you can get a DVD player that or a Blu-ray player that has built-in Hulu functionality, Netflix functionality. You can pick one of those. Hulu's not a. I mean, Barrett, you're doing a lot of your stuff on Hulu.
Yeah, I haven't had a cable connection in forever, so
same
I do
here.
Hulu Plus, and pretty much, you know, you get TV shows maybe the day after it airs. You know, some of them might go away after 3 weeks, but you know, it's
yeah.
functional. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking for a little more variety. I'm currently limited to antenna TV, which
right.
is okay. But
well, Hulu will give you that variety.
Yeah, yep. The Roku box also has a lot of options.
Go to HULUHulu.com. There's a free stuff, and you can at least, even if you can't watch everything without a subscription, it'll show you what shows they have. You can go see what's popular for the week, what new things are there. You know, if you're into Korean soap operas, you're really going to like Hulu. So go check it out. I'd suggest a Flower Boy Tea Shop.
Ah.
All right.
You're a fanboy.
No. I just look at them. I don't actually watch them. Yeah,
sure.
My Little Pony. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, George.
Thanks for your time.
All right.
Good night.
What do you got there?
Windows 8 is looking like Dwight's got it on his on his MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Dwight, close that. No.
Dwight's running Windows 8
on
the MacBook Pro.
Well, he's got it in a virtual machine.
A virtual machine running full screen, so
right.
I can go like back and forth between.
Wow.
See, I can make your eyes hurt there.
Make my head
hurt.
That's right.
All right, Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
All right, up next, we are going to take Daniel.
Daniel, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. So I thought of another question while I was on hold, but I'll do my first question, and then we'll see what we go from there. But I have an iPhone 4 that, or 4S, actually, that I synced to my MacBook Pro.
Can you turn your radio down, please?
Oh, sorry. It's not on.
Oh, okay. It's got a great echo, though.
Step out of the echoey cave, sir, please.
Sorry.
Stop repeating what you just said 2 seconds after it.
Oh, no. You want me to call back or keep going?
No, keep going.
Okay, sorry. So when I sync to my MacBook Pro, I use iPhoto to pull my pictures down, and every time I plug in, it says that I have 2,000 pictures to pull in, and it's always the same exact pictures. Like it pulls the new ones in, but it also sees all the old ones before, and it doesn't see them as already having been pulled in. Whereas if I plugged in like a regular camera to the same computer and still used iPhoto, it would see the new picture or the old pictures on the camera and not try to pull those in. It would only pull in the new 13 or whatever that I took. So now I had 4 or 5 copies of every single picture on the computer. Ended up buying a little shareware program, Duplicate Annihilator. And it killed, you know, all the extra pictures on there. But still, every time I plug my phone in, it asks if I want to download 2,000 new pictures. And then I have to randomly just go through and select the ones I want to pull down, which would be, you know, the last 15, 20 that I've taken. And
so this is an iPhone plugged into a Windows computer?
No, plugged into a MacBook Pro.
But it is an iPhone?
It's an iPhone 4S.
And it's launching iPhoto is the program it's launching?
Right.
If you go into, it's either iPhoto or iTunes, you can tell the I forget where this is controlled. I don't have that turned on. But if you go into iTunes, you can go in and tell it not to launch anything when you plug the phone in. Does iTunes also launch?
Yes.
Yeah. Go into iTunes once your phone is connected and tell it not to plug in, not to launch iTunes, and it should not also launch iPhoto.
Okay. But then the problem is though, like when I want to...
Use something different. There's a program that's for managing photos. If you don't want to use iPhoto, if you look, I believe it's in the utilities folder. It's either in utilities or it's in the applications folder. It's called Image Capture.
Yep.
It's the same application that you use to do a scan, but it will also pull your photos off of your phone. It's what I use to manage photos on the iPhone.
Okay, awesome. I'll give that a shot.
Okay, all right.
Y'all have time for a second question?
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, I used to have a BlackBerry and went to an iPhone, and then oddly enough went from an iPhone to an Android. And while I was on the Android, I got hooked on an app called Profile Valet because it allowed me to have profile ringtones similar to my BlackBerry, if you're familiar with those.
Yeah.
And now that I'm back on the iPhone, I was curious if y'all knew of an app that was similar to that or something that would allow me to have profiles on my ringers so that, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, nobody else's phone call but my wife's gets through, or similar to it, like what I could do on my BlackBerry with the exceptions rule on the ringtone.
For the iPhone, I don't think that's possible.
Okay.
Because of Apple's restrictions on the way it deals with that part of the operating system.
Gotcha. Right.
I just don't think you can do that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, 713-526-5738. Got about 9 minutes left in the show. We got one call in the queue, so we probably could get another call in there. I was remarking today that my name is, in fact, Quick Question. It's like when I meet people in the hall at work or on the elevator or going somewhere, it's like, Quick Question.
Yeah. That's right. If you ever have a kid, name the kid Quick Question. Or well, you actually could have fun. Actually have fun. Name your next parrot Quick Question.
Mm-hmm. Questions are always quick. It's the answers.
It's the answers.
Cynthia's all eyeballing the Maltese dog. I had my heart crushed with
that's humans. A little like long-haired rat dog, right? In the
there, I ran into a Maltese puppy the other day, and it was so cute. And I'm not like, I don't die of cute ever, and I died of cute.
Those are high maintenance dogs, aren't they?
No.
No?
They're hypoallergenic. They're pretty...
You have to get them trimmed all the time and stuff? No?
You do have to keep them trimmed, yeah.
You've got to talk to them in a high voice. I believe.
Oh, little puppy! Yeah.
And I did. I mean, I was just...
Do you have a cat?
No.
He's got a bird.
I have a bird. Why do you mean? I have Tweety. No Sylvester.
No Sylvester.
All right. Groovehouse?
Yeah. Oh, no, before we do that, no, that's a Barrett Time Part 2.
What, a 26-inch tablet? What do you
No. This is actually, it's bigger than a 26-inch tablet. This is kind of cool. KD5 brought it to my attention. This weekend is Shuttlebration weekend.
Shuttlebration?
Not a slur.
There's no shuttle here.
It begins on the afternoon Friday, June 1st, when the Space Shuttle Attraction will arrive by barge at the Johnson Space Center, an Asteroid 1 dock on Clear Lake. So more or less, it's the largest item to arrive at the dock since the Saturn V arrived for display in 1977. So wow. KD5's going to it. It starts out this weekend. Go to spacecenter.org/shuttlebration.html if you want to go check it out.
This is a shuttle.
They're bringing
replica.
It in by barge. So this it's going to be the shuttle
I've
exhibit.
Seen the pictures of it on the barge that they're steaming down. Yeah. I mean,
this is a consolation prize for us not getting the shuttle.
We're not getting a real shuttle.
For the weekend, we're not keeping this.
Oh, no. It's going to stay here. It's not a real shuttle. It's a mock-up. I think it was the one that was at KFC.
I'm working
Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Kentucky Sun Chicken.
Yeah, it'll take all weekend for them to get it up out of the water, then roll it down to...
That's what she says.
It's an old shuttle.
Shuttle Viagra.
Little blue shuttle pills. So, and I'm working the Chronicle homepage on Saturday, and I guarantee you there's going to be lots of pictures of the shuttle.
I'm going to head down there, I think. That's pretty cool.
On the homepage.
Is it made out of like balsa wood or something? Is it paper mache? Is it really cheap looking?
Paper mache and Chinese apple cores.
That's what I thought. Let's take this last call.
All right, let's do that.
All right, up next, we're going to take Emily.
Emily, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I have a question about, we're having a problem with our router and our modem. We have our service through Comcast. We have an Aeris modem. We bought a new Netgear router that worked fine for several months, and then the service became spotty, and then it died. So then we hooked up our very old Netgear RangeMax, and that worked fine for a while, and then it died. So then we tried to research the problem. We thought maybe the firmware on the new Netgear router was corrupted, except we couldn't stay connected long enough to tell. We can connect and have internet service when we connect directly into the modem, except that's a problem because there's, you know, more than one of us trying to be online at the same time. But then mysteriously, the new router is working perfectly today, and so is the old router. And we're trying to figure out why that is. Does that mean there's something funky with our internet service, with our modem?
I would definitely take a look at the modem as being the potential culprit. I will say that over the last 4 days, my Comcast service has been very spotty. My modem has... Are you looking at the modem at the time this is happening and seeing whether or not your internet link light is active or not?
It's always blinking. It's always active.
Well, no, there's one light that should be steady, always on when you have a connection to the internet. And if it goes to blinking, it means that it hasn't synced up to the internet. So there's one light, at least on the little tiny Comcast modem I have, the far right-hand light needs to be solid.
Well, there is a far right-hand light that says power, and that is solid. There is a light that blinks that's orange that, according to the Comcast website, is supposed to blink and be orange.
If she may have a DOCSIS 3 modem from the sound of it. It's the bright green and bright orange lights?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a DOCSIS 3. So the light is different.
Okay.
So there's one orange light and there's one green light. I mean, there's two orange lights. One is solid, one blinks. Do you see two orange lights?
There are two orange lights, both.
Both?
Blink. Actually, you know, when I look at the second light, it's hard to tell whether it's really blinking or it's bleed over light from the first orange light. But there are four green lights that are solid.
It's probably, the connection's probably solid. But contact Comcast and get them. They can check your modem over the while you're on the phone, and they can tell you.
They can
you
look
right
at
away.
It. They can also pull up a health report and tell you whether it's been losing right. connections or not.
Well, we've done that, and everything reports fine. But now we actually talked to Netgear, and they were very nice, and they're mailing us a new modem. I mean, a new router. But now I feel kind of bad because I think it's not the router. I think it's the modem.
Well, try the new router for a while, see what happens. But you could also go down to the Comcast store and swap out modems just to see what happens.
Oh, that's true. We hadn't thought about that. Thank you. That's
all right.
A really nice idea.
All right. Well, have a good evening. We got to let you go.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Well, a successful Technology Bites. Good show. Don't forget the Geek Gathering is this Friday at Aperture, which used to be Coffee Grounds. Go to our website for information on that. We'd love to see you come on out. And we're going to get out of here, make way for the next show and all that good stuff. So you've been listening to Technology Bites here. What?
No spyware calls in the show.
Whoa.
Way to jinx it, man. That could really kill us next week.
That's next week.
All right. Well, we're glad you tuned in. Stick around here locally in Houston, Vegan World Radio. Check your local listings if you're listening outside the KPFT area. We'll see you next Wednesday night for more Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Garrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Say a prayer for afflicted for a safe return from Russia.
KPFT. WPFT has faced hardships over the last few months, with inclement weather dealing this community radio station significant damage. As a result, KPFT is not able to reach everyone who can normally hear our signal. However, that makes those of you listening on air and online much more needed. We need your help to get back to what we do best, great radio. Can you donate towards our transmitter costs or pledge today towards our upcoming friend drive? Independent news, music, and culture in Houston all need KPFT. Where else on the dial can you hear this unique mix of programming? Whether it's artists you've never heard before or interviews you'll always remember, KPFT has something you love and want to keep alive. Visit KPFT.org right now to help KPFT in these trying times. Again, that's KPFT.org. Your financial support helps tremendously. You're listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT.org, Twitter.com/KPFT, Facebook.com/KPFT Houston.
You listen to KPFT, you enjoy some of our fine programming, and you have done your part to keep us commercial-free by calling in a pledge of support. Hats off to you for taking that first step. But before you settle into that fantastic feeling, don't forget, you still need to send in that pledge of support to finalize your promise to KPFT. But be warned, that fantastic feeling will soon follow. Thanks for supporting KPFT Houston.
Radio.
Anasot Radio Pacifica.